Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome to Your Family Dog. Julie and I were just trying to figure out what to talk about this week, and we decided to go with some of our favorite things, and we're splitting it into two episodes. So this week is a few of the things that are making Julie happy lately. So just to lead off, Julie, what kinds of exciting new things have you gotten for your dog lately?
Well, I have actually gotten several new things, one of which is I have very furry dogs. I have a Bernese Mountain Dog who, if he sheds about a dog a day. And then my flat coat retriever also sheds a fair amount. And one of the things that I like to use on them is a rake. That's what it's called, and it's usually curved at the top, and it has a row of teeth, and it lifts the under hair out, and it gets them nice and clean. And I broke a rake because I dropped it. And then another one, the handle came off. So I decided I needed a new rake. So I went to Chewy.com, which, by the way, is my new favorite dog website, Chewy.com. And because they've got great service, they ship super fast, they're very, very helpful, and they have good prices. So anyway, Chewy.com. And I found this great rake. It's my favorite rake now. It's got two sets of teeth. I'll have a link to it on our show notes. And I used it on Zuzu the other night, and oh my goodness, my grandkids, story behind this, Bear likes to dig. Bear dug a hole in the backyard that we haven't had a chance to fill in yet, and it was basically a mud hole. And my grandchildren decided to have a mud fight, and the four of them came in looking like the Uruk-hai being raised from the dead or being born out of the mud from the Lord of the Rings. And apparently Zuzu joined in with the mud fight. So when I got home that night, Zuzu had little sort of sprigs of mud throughout her hair.
Jason Pollock?
Yes, she looked, yes.
Jackson Pollock.
Yeah, Jackson Pollock. Jackson. So I pulled out this rake and I started combing her out. And not only did it lift all of the dirt and, by the way, the smell from her, but it got all her undercoat out and shiny. I mean, our family room looked like a black dog because it went everywhere. But it was a really great rake. It really, I was thinking I was going to have to drag her down and into the bath, and I didn't have to because the rake really got the dirt out, lifted the undercoat, took the smell out, and she has this beautiful shiny coat.
Are the two rows of teeth identical, or are they spaced differently, or what's magic about the double rows of teeth?
They are a little bit different than height, so it gets in at different levels. There's the outer one, they're a little bit longer, the inner one's a little bit smaller. So I think what it does is the outer one pulls it up and the shorter one pushes it out. Mm-hmm. And for some reason it just gets the hair out a lot better.
Well, and cool, I'll have to try that because I use a rake most often on Edzo, and he's not a fan of the Furminator, which does seem to get undercoat for a lot of dogs, but it's not his preference. So the rake I have, I would like to perhaps have a double set of teeth.
I got away from the Furminator because a groomer told me that she really doesn't like Furminators because she thinks it doesn't do what the rake does, which is lift and thin out and clean the undercoat. Instead, it kind of mangles the dog's coat. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't like, a couple of groomers have told me that they do not like the Furminator, but they really like the rake because it's actually a cleaning and thinning tool and keeps the coat healthy. So,
well, that is good to know. Well, I look forward to seeing that. I might be getting a new rake for my little friend here.
Yeah, I love my new rake. The other thing that we have come to love is Lamlong. And dried. I don't know if it's freeze-dried, but it's dried lamb lung fillets that you can get from Merrick at Chewy.com, and they're on sale right now at Chewy.com. They're like half price. And if you put them on auto ship, get another 10% off. It's very exciting. We go through a lot of lamb lung. And, well, my mantra for treats when I'm training is usually small, soft, and stinky. This can be small, and it can definitely be stinky, but it's not soft. It is, but it's not super hard. It's not crunchy like a milk bone, but you can break it up into nice small pieces. My dogs love it. It's great. You can break it up and put it in Kongs, and they love it. It's super for training, and it's not messy, which is really nice. It doesn't gunk up my bait bag. I've not yet met a dog who doesn't like it, and most dogs just go crazy for it. But my favorite part of the whole thing is the bag says gluten-free, and I'm like, what would you think? Why would you think a lung would have gluten? It's a lung. It's not bread. It's not made of wheat. So I just had this vision of all these little lambs sneaking off into the side of the barn and, you know, huffing flour so they can have these glutenized lungs. But it is gluten-free.
There's gluten in my lungs. Yeah.
That's right. It's low
fat.
The red
lung that I've used in the past is scored so that it's easier to break apart into little bits. Is your favorite lamb lung scored?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Oh, just thinking about that, yes. So it makes me, sometimes it looks like it's made like it's a panini. You know, it's got this.
A little bit.
I'm like, maybe that's how they dry it out. They put it in a panini maker. So I'm thinking to myself, does this mean I could, if I bought a panini maker, could I make my own lamb lung?
No one will think you're at all odd when you walk into a butcher saying, could I have a lung?
That's right. I need a lamb lung. Could I do this with pig hearts? Because actually a client of mine gave me some pig hearts. Your clients give you snuffle mats.
Why did a client give you pig hearts? Let's totally pull that string.
Well, because this was back when I still had Buckley, and we were trying to figure out ways to supplement his diet. He wasn't eating as well, and we wanted to boost his protein and maybe get him a little bit raw. And she said, I have some extra pig hearts, because she feeds raw. So she gave me a bag of pig hearts. Now, your clients give you snuffle mats. My clients give me pig hearts. But I'm wondering if I
love my clients, by the way.
I love my clients, too. I did get banana bread from a client once. And I did have a client give me a piece of pottery. But probably the most unusual gift from a client had to be the pig hearts, I think.
That pig heart counts as most unusual gift ever. Like, can you top it? Like, do we have to put on the most unusual gift from a client qualifier? Or do you have some other unusual gifts in your past that you'd like to reveal here?
Well, no. None that I can think of.
Okay, we're going to go with getting some pig hearts as the most unusual gift ever.
Ever, yes.
For you, so
for
far,
me.
To date.
Today.
The most unusual gift to date.
That's right, it's a pig heart. But anyway, nonetheless, I don't know if you can dry them out like you can lamb lung and score them so they can be broken into little pieces. And or whether you know, I don't have a panini maker, but I do have a waffle iron.
There you go.
So but I just don't think that if I put the pig hearts in the waffle iron, I'm going to want to make waffles anymore.
That's the thing. Sunday breakfast at your house is going to change just so dramatically.
That's right. And I'm not sure that the smell of waffleizing pig hearts is going to draw anybody's attention except the dogs. I used to make liver brownies for the dogs, but Brad put a kibosh on that one because he couldn't stand the smell.
Yeah. I used to dry liver in my oven for the dogs, and Jack did the same. He was like, I don't care how much money you're saving, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Because it would just smell for days and days and days, but it was so cheap. It was really cheap. And so, you know, I wanted to save a few pennies. So the lamb lung, back to the topic,
is economically priced. It sounds like we're doing all internal
organs.
It
doesn't stink your house up, and
no,
dogs
it doesn't.
Like it.
Dogs like it, and it's on sale. At half price at Chewy.com. And
well, let's hope it still is by the time this airs.
Yes. And I get the 12-ounce size, which is sort of the, like, we're headed west on the Oregon Trail size bag. They do have a more reasonable 5-ounce bag if you just want to try it for your dogs. But we get the Westward Ho size. So lamb lung, that's my new favorite. And then an old but good one are the Kaijin bowls. The slow bowls that they make, which are puzzle bowls, in addition to being food bowls. And because I don't do anything by half measure, did I buy one to see if my dogs like it? No, I bought all four designs.
That's Julie.
That is me. And I just found out again the link to a client whose dog inhales her food in about a microsecond. So I mentioned the Kaijin bowls, and I sent her the link. They have some new styles. I may just have. Claude, I'm just itching to, like, you know, that one looks really cool. I might have to try that one. That and the Northmate bowl, which is kind of humps of grass, looks like. I love them. And the reason I love them is because it's sort of a combination intelligence toy and food bowl. So that what I found is worked really well for the Bernese Mountain Dogs inhale their food. So it really slows them down. So instead of taking 10 seconds to eat breakfast, it takes 10 minutes. And that's great for the big barrel-chested dogs because you want them to eat more slowly to help prevent bloat. But it's also great for picky eaters. Bingley was never all that interested in kibble, but one of the things that I found is when I put his food into the Kaijin bowl, now suddenly it's interesting.
Right.
It's a puzzle. It's a puzzle. Right. And so he would actually eat his breakfast. So the Kaijin bowls, and they're easy to clean, stick them, make sure I did learn this one the hard way, which is why we might have to buy a new one. You put them in the top rack of your dishwasher. If you put them in the bottom rack, which my husband did one time, the heat's too hot and it melted, kind of dented one side. It's still usable, but it's dented.
Well, you totally need a new one then.
Clearly. Yes.
Clearly. You need to have a new bowl.
Yeah, Brad wonders why I work. I'm like, because it fuels, it feeds, it pays for my dog habit. That's why I work.
That's so true, isn't it? I mean, years and years ago, I did not earn more dog training than I spent on learning about dog training. And I told my husband, it's far less expensive than heroin. You know, if I'm just going to have a habit, isn't this a good habit? It kind of pays for itself, or almost kind of begins to pay for itself. You know,
yes.
Because there's so much cool stuff out there for dogs and books and videos and stuff for people who love dogs.
That's right.
There's always something new to buy. And the Kaijin bowls have really bright, fun colors.
They do. Pink
really
and orange
cute.
And gray and green.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're very cute. And the dogs really do enjoy them. And it's just made their lives just a lot. It just makes their life better.
Mm-hmm.
And if their life is better, then I'm a lot happier. So anyway, so we have really enjoyed that. And then the last sort of product that I really love is that we get, I started with Bingley again and then reestablished it with Zuzu, is our bark box, our monthly bark box. And I don't know who looks forward to it more, me or Zuzu. That's one of the places I think I was introduced to Lamlong, was I got Lamlong through my bark box. So they have lots of good organic, treats in there that don't have a lot of, ancillary ingredients. They're pretty pure. The dogs seem to really like them a lot. And then it's always themed. So there can be like a Halloween theme. One fall there was a collegiate theme. So we got a little pom-pom and a little pendant toy. And then there was dinosaurs and we got a woolly mammoth and a pterodactyl. And then there was a circus one, which was really cute. It was the cutest little elephant. I just loved it. A little squeaky elephant. And then another squeaky rectangle, which was a ticket. It was really cute. And then they got, peanut butter treats and stuff. So anyway, it's very fun. And the box has great little illustrations. And then the paper that they wrap this in is always themed. So I love that. And the last one was Alice in Wonderland. We got a rabbit. And we got, I don't remember what we got, but there was an oriental one. We got a teapot and a sushi roll. It was a stuffed sushi roll. Anyway, it's very cute. We have a great deal of fun with it. One of the things I will tell you, though, is our dog Buck that used to love to lay on the front porch. And I had to tell the mailman to stop leaving the bark boxes on the front porch because Buckley would open them and eat all the treats.
They were for him.
Well, actually, no, they were labeled for Bingley, but... Bingley wanted the toys. Buckley got the treat. So BarkBox is fun. I will tell you, though, it is a tad bit expensive. And I just indulge myself with that one. So I don't remember the exact price on it, but it's probably more than what I ought to pay. But it's great. The dogs have fun.
And it clearly brings
it
you
does.
Joy.
It does.
And you know what? That's the thing.
Like I said, I don't know
things
who
in life that make us happy.
I don't know who looks forward to it more, me or the dog. So... Anyway, so those are the things that I really like. Do you have any things, Colleen, that's coming to mind, or are we going to move right on to books?
I think we can move on to books. I'll save some of my things that make me happy for next time when it's
your turn. My turn to talk about. We'll talk about your things next time. All right. So, favorite books. I have lots of training books or books written by people who train dogs or are behaviorists or whatever. But that's not what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about some of the literary books that I really enjoy. One author that I've been recently introduced to, I'm sure there are many of our readers who have been reading Dean Koontz for many, many years. He's been writing for a very long time, very prolific, very funny writer. I was introduced to him through his book about his dog Trixie called The Big Little Life, which was a very endearing book. Tissue alert, folks. The end is not... Well, anyway...
Dog books are like that because they always end with the end of the dog. And there you are going, but I love this dog and I can't bear the end of this dog.
Right.
But I have not read A Big Little Life. Tell us a little bit about...
Well, he and his this was the first dog that they got. It was a golden retriever by the name of Trixie. And he and his wife fell just madly in love with Trixie. And it's...
As they should.
And... She did all kinds of things with them, and what they found was she was just a really wonderful indicator of people. That the people she liked, they liked. The people she was leery of, they became very leery of. And so she became very connected to them. And because he writes at home, she was very much intricately involved in their life on a daily basis. And it's the story of Trixie's life with them and how she really inspired him to add more dogs into his books. And they gave her a wonderful life and actually a very wonderful passing. And it was hard to read, but it was very lovely. I allow myself one weepy dog book a year. And I had read that one shortly after I read The Art of Racing in the Rain. So I actually had two weepy dog books within a month. And I'm like, that's it. That's almost like a 2-year quota in a month. That was hard, but they were both very good. But I read just picked up another book of his. It was lying around our cottage from the previous owner called Dragon Tears. And in this book, which is a bizarre sort of time travel, weird kind of book, really well written and very good. But there's a dog, and it's a golden retriever mix, and he's wonderful. I just love him. And Dean Koontz has this great way of writing as if he were the dog. And he does. The story, part of the story is told from the point of view of the dog. And he really gets how dogs sort of see/smell the world and how they move through the world and how they try to get people like, you're not really, this is what I need you to do, and how they work with people to get them to pay attention to what they need to pay attention to. And I really, really enjoyed the dog in that book a lot. That was called Dragon Tears. And apparently dogs appear in many of his books. So... and I've been told by others that he continues to be very insightful as far as dogs go. So those are for adult people. But for little people, one of my favorite books, and I know you like this one too, is Three Stories You Can Read to Your Dog. And I will take that if I'm going to classrooms. I love to do it in classrooms, especially like first and second graders. It's a...
Oh, yeah.
It's just... And it's all sort of... It's stories that you've been reading to your dog. So it's this, you are reading the dog and you're telling him a story about himself, if that's the best way to describe it. So, and things like, so, one day, you know, you waited at the door and then you heard somebody. So you bark, 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 and then a person went away. And so you knew that you were a big, mean, scary dog. Just, it's really enchanting. It's really sweet. And for your beginning readers, it's a great book. If you have a dog and a child who's beginning to read, it's a great book for them to share with their dog. So,
yeah. And now with all these programs where kids are reading to dogs, you know, here's a book specifically designed to read to your dog. I mean, what could be better?
No, because it's a really...
It predates most of these reading books because I know my kids were reading it when they were little and they're no longer little.
No, but it's a great book.
It is a fun book. It's just fun and silly and some of the misconceptions that dogs have about life. And one part that I recall, I haven't read it in too many years, but one part I recall was, you know, that the dog was left alone for years and years and years, like, you know, when someone went to the bathroom,
yeah,
you know,
forever
like,
and ever.
Like there's like this, yeah, such a long time.
Oh, you're back.
And then the person came back. Oh, yay. Hooray. Party. You know, like, wasn't probably that long, but I realize it felt that way to you.
Yes. Well, that got to be the point in our house after reading the book when we would say, well, you know, forever is 10 minutes and then forever mm-hmm. and ever is 20. So, you know, yeah. you were gone forever. Well, no, it was a half of forever. And so it was only 5 minutes. That's a half of forever, not a forever.
Yeah.
So, but it is. It's just a really sweet, fun book. And then when the dog, then there's the great one about when the dog gets lost and how he finds his way home. And then when he buries his bone and then he's worried that somebody might steal it. So he goes out to find the bone. Soon the whole yard is covered with holes mm-hmm. because he's afraid somebody has stolen it. Oh, it's very funny. Very sweet. Very doggy.
Yes. So we'll have links to those in the show notes.
Absolutely. So, Colleen, what about you and books? What do you like?
Well, in terms of authors, I kind of love how Nora Roberts often slides a dog into some of her stories. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting just how they're a member of the family, and they hang out, and they do stuff, and they act like real dogs, so they... you know, take food off the table sometimes or jump on people when they come over. But they're clearly beloved members of the family. So I do always enjoy Nora Roberts from that perspective of the book isn't about the dog in any way. They're just a part of the world. And I think that's one of the things I really like best. Some of the books that are written specifically about dogs, I wind up having issues with some of the perceptions or ideas that are projected upon the dogs. So some of the ones that my clients are like, oh, you totally have to read this book. I do. And then I think, okay, yeah, wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, I've had people say that to me too. You know, you must read this book. You know, it's all about dog training and it's this, and you'll really love it. And I'm like, okay, I read it and I liked it. Didn't like the training methods at all in the book.
Yeah.
And actually, it's just a retelling of The Call of the Wild. So why don't I just recall the wild?
Yeah, or like A Dog's Purpose, I really objected to the basic concept and tenet of that a dog's mission in life is to serve and please a human.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think so. And I absolutely think that we have these amazing, powerful relationships with dogs that we benefit from and that they benefit from. But I find it disquieting and a little offensive to think that it's a dog's
purpose.
So I have not seen the movie. I don't know about the movie. There were parts of the book that I very much enjoyed, but that overarching theme of my job is to be here for my person alienated me in a way, because I just felt like it wasn't crediting dogs with being honestly, independent entities with minds of their own. Like, my dog loves me, but his purpose is not here to make me happy. That's not why this dog is on this earth. So, I run into that sometimes with
books. So, what I would say about the movie is I was not going to go see the movie because there was an objection that had been raised about one of the scenes of the dog. And mm-hmm. what I really appreciated was the director's response to that, or the producer's response. And he said, I was not on set the day that happened. If I had been, it would have happened. This is a group we have used before. I will not use them again. He didn't make any excuses for it. He just explained what happened and that, you know, it was not acceptable behavior. And so, I mean, I kind of appreciate that. He owned it and took responsibility for it. So I did end up seeing the movie. And my husband watched it on a plane flight to the West Coast, and he was getting all teary-eyed. So I'm like, do not ask me to watch this on a plane because I will lose it. It's just like, that's just not a fair thing to do. So we got back and he said he wanted to see it again because he missed half the dialogue on the plane. We did watch it and I enjoyed it very much, but that theme is still, it's still there. It wasn't, I don't think it is, perhaps it's dumb and I haven't read the book. But I did enjoy the movie, and there are some parts of it that were very, very hard to watch. There were other parts of it that were just hysterical, that were just really delightful, and I enjoyed very, very much. And I cried and cried and cried and cried. So, tissue alert on that one. But...
Do you have a limited number of crying movies per year, or just crying books?
No, dog dying books. It's dog. The dog does not make it to the end of the book. I can only do one or two a year, and two's really pushing it. But so that's why I like Dean Koontz, because except for the Big Little Life, the dog didn't die in Dragon's Tears. It had a really happy ending. So good. Yay, that was good. So.
That's good.
It was very good.
Okay, so in terms of favorite things, we got some books, we got things for people to read, but we also have stuff that their dogs might enjoy, like the lamb lung and the rake and the fun kaijin bowls.
Right.
All sorts of good things here. So does that kind of wrap up some of your favorite things of the moment?
At the moment, yes. I could probably go on for about five or six podcasts, but I think...
And you can again in the future. As things spark your interest, we'll come back to the topic.
All right.
Because that's the idea, that we are always encountering something that we're like, oh, that's cool.
Yes. Yes. So, absolutely.
Ideas to share.
All right. Well, thanks, Colleen. See you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.